mind of God in the soul. The life of God in the soul. And for the text that I'm using is John's Gospel and chapter 3, 1 to 18. Dear believer, have you ever considered and what is involved in your salvation? What has brought you to your present position of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize that the entire Godhead is involved in the saving of a lost soul? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, the entire Godhead is involved in bringing you and me to faith. All those whom the Father has given to Him, yes, every lost sinner is given to Christ by the Father. John 6 and verse 37 and 8. God the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And He is the one who actually brings new life to a sinner. The work of the Holy Spirit is called the new birth, or the work of regeneration. The word regeneration is a theological word, but it describes what happens when a person comes to faith, when he is born of the Spirit. This new life is a pain the same way as when a baby comes to life, with a difference, of course. There isn't a physical act. New life is given to a dead sinner, one who is dead in trespasses and in sin. And he or she starts to live spiritually because the Holy Spirit breathes life into that dead soul. And thus, he is born again or regenerated. As a direct result of that work, the sinner is enabled to repent. He is enabled. He or she is enabled to believe and to embrace the promises of the gospel. So then, friend, this word regeneration or the new birth tells us of what God does in the soul of a person. A man, a boy, a girl, or a boy. All who will come to the Father, the Spirit breathes life through the Holy Spirit. And so then, the word regeneration is an inward. We hear of places that were one thriving community, where they were industrious. And then all of a sudden there is a downturn in that industry. And the community become, as it were, without that wholeness that they once enjoyed. There's unemployment high. And we hear of large sums of money being given for a specific area to regenerate the area. So regeneration is an inward, but is also a theological word. a word that tells us what God does for every sinner, for you and for me, and for all who will come to God. Let all who hear the gospel and who believe the gospel experience that work of regeneration in their heart and life. I want to be absolutely clear, brothers and sisters, I am not talking about turning over a new leaf. I am speaking about something that is more, that is fundamental. I am not speaking about a makeover. I am speaking about an inner revolution, a change from within, and not something that is from without, not something external. And so we will rewind. Let's turn to the passage we read together. And here we read of a man named Nicodemus. And there are some things we must notice about this man. First, we are told that he was a Pharisee. He belonged to the elite. The upper class of Jewish society at the time. And perhaps, and he was a highly educated man. No doubt he had the best training of the time. Something, perhaps something like the Apostle Paul. Maybe he sat at one of the masters of the time and sat at their feet. And so he was really a well-educated man. He also was a member of the Jewish Council. The Jewish Council made up of 70 elders. And Nicodemus was one of them. Nicodemus also was a teacher of the Jews. In other words, he had the ability to take the Torah and to explain the Torah and to those who were less gifted to understand his teaching. And all the different laws that the Jews had made at this particular time. So Nicodemus was an outstanding character, a highly respected man, a person in his society. And perhaps he was a rich man. We are told this in John 19. You remember that Joseph of Arimathea came to Jesus to Pilate after the crucifixion of Jesus and asked for the body of the Lord. And we are told that Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Well, it must be a rich person to make such a purchase. It couldn't be the ordinary working person. So we can assume that he was a rich man. But that's not all that we learn about Nicodemus. John tells us that he came to Jesus by night. There are many theories as to why he came to Jesus by night, and I couldn't go through them all. But some think that Nicodemus was afraid of what the Sanhedrin Council, what his fellow Sanhedrin members may think of him. And they thought that he took the powers of darkness so that he may not be criticized by his fellow council members.
I'm not sure of this argument. There could have been another valid reason why Nicodemus came. It was a custom of the Pharisees to have convivial discussion with a renowned teacher. And perhaps it was an opportune time for Nicodemus to meet with Jesus and to have a convivial discussion with him. But whether that is so or not, I am still not certain. But one thing I am certain of, he came by night. And not speak of darkness. Moral darkness and spiritual darkness. Nicodemus certainly had a darkness in his soul. And that may be the real reason why he came by night. He had a quest in his heart. He had a longing. He was searching for an answer, though he was a teacher, though he was a well-educated man. He wants an answer. And so he came to Jesus by night. If that is so, then he came because he had a need, a deep need, a desperate need. And so he sought the one who he believed may be able to help him. So Jesus and Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him." Here's a bit of flattery. "Jesus, we know that you're a teacher. Look at all the miracles that you have performed. Look at all the sick you have laid your hands upon. Look at all the good things you have done and for others. So God is blessing you." I'm not sure whether at this point whether Nicodemus recognized Jesus as the divine Son of God. Yes, he might have thought that Jesus was a good teacher, an able teacher. But whatever the case may be, he came with a need. May I ask, are you here this morning because you have a need? Well, listen on. So Jesus said to him in verse 3, Jesus himself did not accept this flattery. Jesus in turn put his finger on the spot. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again. Well, I noticed what Jesus said, "most surely." Most certainly, I solemnly declare to you, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter by any means. Nicodemus is completely baffled. Verse 4 bears this out. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus at this time thinking that to enter God's kingdom is by something that you do. And there are multitudes and multitudes who think that they have to do something to enter the kingdom of heaven. And even amongst there are those who say salvation is by grace, but they yet have not fully comprehended that it is not the labor of our hands that make us acceptable to God. No. But Jesus said to him, "Most surely I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And my friends here this morning, you cannot enter God's kingdom by simply doing some good act or being a good citizen or whatever the case may be. Jesus makes it clear to Nicodemus it's an impossibility for one to enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again. Verse 5. And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." What is water? Well, this has nothing to do with baptism, my dear friends, but it has to do with cleansing. Unless we are cleansed by the Word, unless the Word itself, which is life, and God breathes this into us by His Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Titus makes this quite clear. Titus 3 and verse 5 makes this quite clear. You can look that up for yourself. It's not by the washing of water, but by regeneration that we are made right with God. Nicodemus is still mystified. Jesus, I just cannot understand what you're talking about. How can this be? And Jesus explains to him in more detail. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. In other words, Jesus is saying that this is a spiritual matter, Nicodemus. The new birth is by a work of the Spirit in the soul of a man or a woman. It's that Spirit of God that comes and transforms us. Make us new creatures in Christ. It's by the Spirit that we become the children of God. It's a spiritual act, Nicodemus. But Nicodemus still does not get it. He wants to know, how could this be? Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born. Jesus here develops his argument, his teachings in more detail in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sounds, and you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I recall when I was a very tiny boy, living on an estate, the whole area was known as New River, but we lived in the village called Zion. From Zion School, we used to look across in the distance, and we used to see fields and fields of grass. There you used to see the wind blowing across the space, almost like the waves of the sea. Almost like a Mexican wave. Or you might have been out in the country and you look out on a farm, and there you see a field of barley or wheat, and the wind gently blows across it, and there is that ripple
across that pain. It brings a kind of inner calmness as we all saw. Isn't that beautiful? The wind blows where it blows. You hear the rushing wind through the trees, but you cannot tell where it starts or where it ends. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, I am speaking about the work of the Spirit. I am speaking of the Spirit that breathes life into a dead soul and causes him to live. That old song that we used to sing and still do, he calls me long before I heard my sinful soul, soul was heard, but when I took him at his word, he is now healing me. He is a soul that might have resisted at a word for a long time. He had no time for God, he had no time for the word. But then the work of the Spirit takes hold of him. And in an instant, there is a transformation. Take the businessman. He has gone out from his home and his country, and he's in a foreign place. And the night in his hotel room, he picks up a Bible, and I hope that is a Gideon Bible too. But whatever the case may be, he picks up a Bible. And there he begins to read from God's word. And in an instant, there's a transformation over his soul. No preacher, no evangelist, no Christian worker, but the Spirit. The wind blows where it likes or where it wishes. You cannot tell. And as I illustrated about the fields, you cannot tell where the wind is coming from, but it is death. Is evident for all to witness. And more so in the life of the person directly affected. It's the Spirit that comes and transforms that person and gives him new life. It's quickening from the dead. We call that the quickening of the Spirit in theological language. The Spirit comes and gives new life to Nicodemus. But you see, Nicodemus still afraid to accept what Jesus said. And Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, and it's a gentle rebuke. Here Jesus said in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel?" You know, when we calm and gentle way, Jesus seems to be saying, Nicodemus, shame on you. You are a teacher of Israel. These things you should have known. You should have understood these things. You should have understood that it's the Spirit that brings life into a dead soul. It's the Spirit that calls men and women to come to faith. Nicodemus, have you not read from Jeremiah 31:31? May you turn it to that with me, please. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Were you not familiar with this, Jimmy and Nicodemus? Jeremiah 31:31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man and his brother say, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, their sins I will remember no more. Nicodemus, are you not acquainted with such teaching from the Bible? How is it then that you do not understand that what I said to you is of a spiritual dimension? That man must be born of the Spirit. It's not a physical act. It's not by one's own doings. Nothing in my hand I bring, says a hymn writer. Simply to the cross I cling. Was Nicodemus not acquainted then with Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25? Nicodemus should have understood what Jesus meant by the new birth. But Nicodemus failed to understand. Look at verse 25 with me, Ezekiel 26 and 36. And verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will put a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take as a stony heart of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land I gave to your father. But what God will do for him, he will give him a new heart, the heart of rebellion, the heart of unbelief will be hidden away, and a new heart will be given, a new spirit. The things that he once hated will be the things that he now loves. And the Lord Jesus, whom he resisted, is the one who he will now embrace. Did not Nicodemus understand the story as told in Ezekiel chapter 37? For Nicodemus, he might have portrayed it as a valley of bones and nothing else but bones. But this is not a story about strewn bones. It's a body about lost men and women. And Jesus and the prophet here, portrays what God does for a sinner. A valley of bones, as far as the eye can see. They're scattered far and wide. The prophet is asked, can these bones live? And the prophet, again, is mystified. Oh Lord, you know. Then the prophet is told, and to prophesy, preach to these bones, preach the living word to these bones, and these bones will live. There we are told, so I prophesy, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and a sudden rattling
and the bones came together bone to bone.
But my friend, that's all that it was. Bones to bones, dead bones.
Then the prophet, the spirit came upon the bones. But all it was a body. Sinews upon the bones, all that it was. But when the spirit breathed upon those bones, they became a living body. All living bodies. So here Nicodemus then. Was Nicodemus not acquainted with all these Old Testament types that points beyond that? Jesus further went on to speak to Nicodemus and tells him something that is astonishing, that Nicodemus should have understood. He tells him, as Moses lifted up in verses 13 and 14, John 3 and verses 13 and 14, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, even so the man, the Son of Man, must be lifted up. Nicodemus just take this as a story and nothing but a mere story?
No, it was more with deeper significance than that. Jesus was pointing to his own death and resurrection, that through him all who look will live.
But Nicodemus did not at this point fully understand the significance of the teachings that Jesus brought to his mind. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about one who has to die, gave his life as a ransom for the many. One who would take the full brunt of God's justice upon himself, so that sinners may be reconciled to God. And my friend, that is the way that every sinner must come and must look to the cross. Just as Jesus pointed at Nicodemus, that the future day he will give his life a ransom for the many. Yes. His death is for those who are in spiritual darkness. Then Jesus points to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. He's not talking about the material world, he's talking about the world of sinners. For God so loved the world, and he gave his one and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus points Nicodemus to life here and now. Even in our evangelical churches, sometimes we get this wrong. They talk about the afterlife, not with the believer. Life begins here and now. John 5 and verse 24 makes that absolutely clear. And all who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ have entered into life. Here is Nicodemus then. What could Nicodemus do? Well, Romans tells us, Romans 10:17 tells us, that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word, and the word leads to life. That's what Nicodemus must do. That's what you must do. That is what everyone must do. Here we see the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit in breathing life into the soul of a dead sinner. That's how it takes. That's the simplicity of the gospel, my friends. And Jesus then concludes by telling Nicodemus that his mission was a rescue mission. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He who believes in him is not condemned.
The believer
is delivered from condemnation. He has entered into life, eternal life.
You might not feel it, and I might not feel it or sense it,
but it is so, because God has said that it is so.
He who believes in him is not condemned,
and will not be condemned in 1,000,000,000 years to come.
Like has passed from death to life.
Will you embrace this morning of today the truth of the gospel? Will you call upon him? Will you seek him with all your heart? Will you ask him to cleanse you, to wash you, and to make you acceptable with him, and to acknowledge that the Spirit itself is the one who breathes life and calls you to desire to seek the Lord while he